the St. Louis Sports Commission studios, the hosts of the 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships, this is College Hockey Coast to Coast, brought to you by the NCHC and NCHC.tv. Subscribe to NCHC.tv for all of the action from the best conference in college hockey. University of Georgia, building the foundations of something bigger. Go to ugahockey.com to find out how you can be a part of it on and off the ice. Jets Pizza, we're not just pizza. Try our sidekicks, salads, and calzones at jetspizza.com. Adrian College, championship aspirations on the ice and in the classroom. For more information, go to adrianbulldogs.com/mhockeyd1. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, from coast to coast beyond. Wherever you need to be, Caesars has a destination that suits your style. Central Oklahoma University Hockey. Go to ucohockey.com to follow the two-time ACHA national champions as they look to add that third championship banner to the rafters. The Spaghetti Shack. ASU alumni owned and operated at thespaghettishack.com. University of Mary. For tickets and schedule information, visit goumary.com. The Caesars Sportsbook app, where every play earns you Caesars rewards towards dining, tickets, VIP experiences, and more. But please, play responsibly. Jesse Ray's Barbecue in Las Vegas. Award-winning barbecue for your next catered event at jessereysbarbecue.com. College Hockey Coast to Coast from the St. Louis Sports Commission Studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
Well, welcome in, hockey fans, on a very special Saturday night. It's National Championship Saturday night. Scott Strandy, Nick Maxson, joining you live from high above the XL Energy Center. My co-host, as always, Paul Hornstein, joining me from that big, beautiful palatial estate and now Command Center on Long Island, New York. Paul, how are you? Did you watch anything good on ESPN2 tonight?
First of all, there's no command center here. I have pictures of who belongs in the command center. That's one. Two, let me know when you find an estate, because I certainly haven't. So I'm just here in a basement.
Okay, but you're okay. In a basement that's got a TV, and you probably
witnessed
history in the making. This is 10 national championships for the Denver Pioneers. This was probably the most improbable one. It was probably the most exciting one. And, Paul, you know I've been around this team now for the better part of 5 years. I've gotten some really good relationships with the players and the coaches, and I feel so happy and so proud for this group. Nick and I were down on the ice and got some great interviews after this is over. But what do you say about David Carl and the job that he's done?
Well, first of all, And you know, as we sat here all year long, and I'm sure Nick saw a lot of this too, it's not the same team that played during the regular season. Okay, that's a bad thing.
Nope.
But this was not a team. This team didn't play this way at all during the regular season, and maybe because they didn't have to. But in crunch time, they theoretically completely changed the way they played the game, because they knew that in order to get to where they ended up, you were going to play some teams that had equal firepower to you. So,
and they beat them all.
I know that, but they played I'm sure the system didn't change in terms of where they put the, you know, how they tried to play the puck and all of those kinds of things. But maybe they took that extra split second to make sure that they had correct defensive position and made sure that there was nobody open back door, or made sure that there were sticks in the passing lanes, or made sure that Matt Davis had a clear vision of the puck, because he did most of the night, even when BC was putting on the pressure in the third period.
Yeah, good point. Nick sitting right next to me just edited all of our video and audio sounds. So, Nick, your thoughts on what you witnessed tonight right here at the XL Energy Center?
A perfect game, really, by Denver. And to Paul's point, equal firepower? No, I think that they were outgunned. If you go talent to talent, Boston College, Boston University had better offensive weapons. But to your also point, Paul, I think David Carl and his staff knew that with the East Coast style of teams, the competition that they faced throughout the year, the way that they were going to beat these teams was shutting down their offense, frustrating them through the neutral zone, and not allowing them the time and space that they've been used to all season. BC had not been shut out all year. This was the first night they'd ever been shut out this year. So I saw a surgical shutdown of two very high-profile offensive teams that are bound to lose and already have lost a couple of high-key players. And for Denver, that just, I think I said earlier in the week, Denver to me was a chameleon. They can play games in different ways. They can adapt to their opponent and give themselves the best chance to win night in, night out, no matter who their opponent is.
Well, I mean, obviously, that's exactly what they did. I'm just saying, you know, Denver's a team, again, that had, you know, that has their share of the firepower. Maybe it's not equal to what, on the high end of what BC and BU were, but not that far down. And here's the difference that I think it made against these teams, not just these, the two games, but, you know, in the regionals too. When you watch a BC and a BU with the skating and the talent and the speed that they have, a lot of what they do is predicated on not letting the other team out of the zone. You can't do that to Denver. At least you can't do that to this team. Too many guys on this team with that can skate from the back end, can pass from the back end, and get the puck out of the zone in many ways.
Hey, hello, you're back. We didn't hear you.
I wasn't gone.
No, we couldn't hear a word you said until just now when you said in so many things.
Okay, I'll repeat it, but in other words, BU and BC and in their skill use their speed as a weapon to trap people in their defensive zone. Most teams don't have Sean Behrens. Most teams don't have the Bouillon brothers. Most teams don't have a Boston Buchberger that can get the puck out of their own end in so many ways, whether it's a pass or skating a puck out by themselves, where you as an offensive team have to be careful that you don't overplay their defenseman. And Matt Davis had a great tournament getting the puck up to his defenseman before they could be trapped in the corners.
He certainly did. So speaking of Matt Davis, I had a chance to visit with him on the ice. Nick's going to cue it up for us here, so hopefully you can hear us loud and clear. If you can't, Paul, please let us know, okay?
Will do.
Okay, we talked about this a ton of times. You played your way and my sports psychologist, Steven Gonzalez. I mean, they were huge for me throughout that, just keep me on track. And yeah, I mean, just had to keep developing every day, man. I haven't, am I happy I did.
How much will this piece of net remind you of this great tournament?
Well, every day. Can't wait to get my second ring.
There you go. He can't wait to get his second ring. That's what they look for, these guys, is getting another ring. Unbelievable. I hope you heard it okay. It was a crazy environment on the ice, but important to get it right from Matt Davis's mouth.
Well, first of all, I mean, I heard him much better than I heard you, which is fine. And if you asked me, I much prefer
nobody
it.
Nobody wants
anyway.
To hear me.
Well, that's true. That's exactly right. So as long as I can hear him, that's all that matters. This is one of the things that made us grow up loving college sports or turning us into college sports lovers, right? Guys, you know, come in, you wait your turn, and guys leave, and it's your turn, and the portal has taken away some of that or a lot of that, but. You know, that was Matt Davis was really the question going into the season.
Right? Well, he was your question.
Whatever.
He wasn't my question. I told you how good the kid was.
Listen, he earned it. he earned it in these last four games. Played well in the NCHC tournament and brought his game up to a complete another level. As did the rest of his teammates defensively. That save he made on the BC power play was probably the save of the tournament.
Save of the year.
which is crazy when you think that Caron made some insane saves last night on Thursday night, and Fowler made a couple of big ones tonight too to keep his team in the game. But that, I mean, holy smokes. I mean... BC's on the power play. They haven't been shut out all year, and you can kind of get a feel at that point that maybe the momentum was going to turn a little bit, especially with BC getting that power play. And he makes that save, and it just really, really did a lot psychological for the tenor of the game.
All right, Nick, your thoughts? You watched this thing live and in person right next to me. Your thoughts from, first of all, Matt Davis and his performance?
Unbelievable, right? But to Paul's point, he didn't really have to be. He made the big save, right? Save of the tournament, I'd argue even save of the year.
Right.
You saw Ryan Leonard look to the sky.
Yep.
BC didn't really have the great age. The middle of the ice was really tough to get to. But Matt Davis, his rebound control was really good. He was upright in his crease. He was challenging pucks. He looked very collected, looked very calm. He was dialed in, Scott. He was.
Yeah, totally.
He was dialed in. And again, as you said, Nick, he didn't have to fight through a lot of screens. His teammates kept the middle of the ice clear. I mean, did he make some unbelievable, like you said, maybe the save of the year? Yeah. By the way, on the one rebound he didn't control, by the way.
Yeah.
And it went right up the middle of the ice. But you saw, he was focused. He was straight up on the puck. His body was in the right position. Were there a ton of, 10 Bell saves? No. But he made them all.
Certainly did. Okay, let's see if we can cue up the captain, McCade. Or who do we have next here? McCade Webster. We'll cue this up. Me and McCade have become pretty good friends, I think I can say. I've had a chance to visit with him many times. And here we go. Jesus. Here's from McCade.
Same thing, we knew we about these guys. They're just unbelievable guys. I'm so happy for all of them. This just means so much to them. So it's awesome.
Okay, let me recap the national tournament for you. 2-1 double overtime, 2-1 regulation, 2-1 overtime, 2-0. What does that say about not only your team, but Matt Davis? What an outstanding tournament.
Matt Davis is unbelievable. He won his national season. He won his national championship. He's just saying he's awesome. He's an unbelievable guy. You know, everyone's doubted him all year, but we knew in that room what we had. So he's unbelievable.
You took a pretty vicious hit down here.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
All good.
Okay, Ray, you're on. Thank you, Kate. Best of luck.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Hey.
Paul, I don't know how well you heard that, but I said you took a pretty vicious hit down here in the corner, and I said, "How are you feeling?" He said, "All good, all good."
Oh, listen,
the warrior. That kid is a warrior.
You lift the trophy; it doesn't matter, right? You don't feel a thing. I can only, I mean, as a fan, when you watch your team win, it's kind of numbing. So I can't even imagine what the adrenaline must do to everything when you're one of the people that actually won it. You know, you hear it's not, you know, when certain things happen, it's not uncommon to hear a guy say or a gal say, "I blacked out. I have no idea what I was doing. I just did it."
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty incredible. Mick, what did you see from McCade? You've had a chance to see him now a couple of times, met him up close and personal. Your thoughts on McCade Webster?
He's a 200-foot player, Scott. Plays up and down the ice, skates really well, and what a shot, right, to open the scoring. And sometimes, you know, in these situations, Scott, BC, when you get frustrated when things are going your way, you start overpassing, you start shooting pucks from tough areas. For Webster's opening goal, on a rush, just gripped it and ripped it, and he beat a really good goaltender over the right shoulder.
I think you're giving him too much credit. I think that was Jared Wright.
Was that Jared Wright? Oh, gosh.
but he did have an excellent game.
He did.
And he does everything right. And you're right. He's a 200-foot player.
He is. So now that I have my players right in my head, my goodness, it's been a long weekend. but no, and you can see from just our interview with him, he's the emotional leader in that locker room. Giving credit to Matt Davis, looked like, you know, he was really absorbing the moment. And honestly, you know, when you have a leader like that who plays the game the right way on the ice, is a great human being off the ice. That's a recipe for success. That's what gets you here and also puts you over the top to raise another trophy in for Denver, the 10th one. And like you said, Scott, it'll be the all-time first ever program to be in double digits.
Yeah, maybe Michigan will catch them. Maybe other teams will. Well, I'm sure they will certainly catch 10. But once you're the first, it's always the first, yep. Right? And we both saw Heather Weems, the commissioner of the NCHC, down on the ice level, and that smile was about as big as you can get. Mm-hmm. She's very proud to have an NCHC championship trophy staying within the conference. So,
sixth time, yep, since the realignment, and the next closest conference, two.
Yep. And she also said there will be no ninth star, so she said, tell Paul Hornstein, no ninth star. Star is coming. Just tell him to get used to it.
No, I won't, but that's another story. And again, we can replace one of those hockey sticks with a pitchfork. We're working on that.
You know, okay. Somebody told me they want to do something with a pitchfork to you.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people that want that, but right. You know, we're sitting here and you say somebody, I can't even, we'll be long, long gone before somebody else gets close to 10, unless BU or BC goes on an insane run or the green.
You
and
have
white
no
team.
Love for Michigan, who's sitting at 9.
Can I finish?
Oh, okay.
You know, maybe the green and white team up there, the North Dakota Fighting.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Bemidji State.
No, so no.
Oh, okay.
They might go on a run. To get close to 10, And I'm sure Michigan could win another, you know, will eventually win another one to get to 10. But that's a lot of consistent championships to catch those two schools. Whether we, you know, I mean, because what, BU and BC had six?
BC right? has five.
All right. I'm sorry. I guess, I don't know if it was five or six. I knew it was one of those two.
And then North Dakota has eight.
Okay. Well, then that's it. I mean, no one else is catching those guys.
They're only going to have TJ Sempfenfelter for one more year.
That's true.
So how are they going to get that many?
I don't know. I
threw you a bone on that one. Okay, let's hear from Sean Behrens, the defenseman, the NCHC reigning defenseman of the year, Sean Behrens.
Championship number 10, Sean Behrens, a big part of it. You've been for two of these. How does this one feel? Unbelievable. I mean, Sisson being number 10.
Sean Behrens, as you can hear probably, Paul, the Zambonis are out scraping the ice. The Wild are going to play hockey here again eventually, so they'll have to get that ready. But your thoughts on what you heard from Sean?
You know, here's a guy that has won twice now. And, you know, he made sure to give credit to those guys that don't get to play that much. Right? The guys that show up to practice every day, knowing that their odds of playing are not that high, or they're not playing every night, or the guys that get hurt. And those are the first guys he mentions. And, you know, that shows the kind of, you know, a teammate that you want, man. You want a guy that recognizes everybody had a piece of this.
Yeah, you're 100% correct on that. Nick, your thoughts on Sean Behrens, the player and the person?
First of all, for a kid that's sub-6, as you like to say.
Yeah, sub-6, baby.
Please don't encourage him. I'm begging you. Begging you not to encourage him.
But Paul, here's my point for the smaller defensive defenseman, for a guy like myself who watches a Jared Spurgeon flourish right in the NHL, right? That is the biggest compliment that I can give to Sean Behrens from watching him play. I mean, BC's a big team up front and in back. And for someone like him that uses his positioning, uses his stick, is not afraid to go in the corners and battle, and just his hockey IQ off the charts, right? It really is an impressive feat in today's game for a kid. I'm not saying he's small, but for a kid that has, you know, not the biggest reach and is able to shut down these guys that have much more in terms of body and width and skating that he could, and he makes it look effortless. And then as the person, you can see he's a natural leader. You know, and we just talked about, you know, McCade Webster as the captain. Sean Behrens is a guy that, whether you wear an A or a C or none at all, he's the guy that he's what they call the glue guy, right?
Yep, yep, yep.
He's a leader without the patch. And whoever has him as a pro team, Colorado, right, are going to be happy to have him in their system at some point.
Let me tell you this.
And hold on. Just for informational purposes, people want to, you know.
Sub six? I mean,
no, shut up. Just because Nick mentioned him, you know, we got to let people know that if they don't, Jarrett Spurgeon is a 15-year NHL veteran, and he's not exactly Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, good point. If Shaquille O'Neal was on the ice for 15 years, that'd be really something to see, by the way.
Yeah, it would be, but you get the point.
Anyway, you know, I met Sean when he came in as a freshman, and when I came back and saw him for the start of his sophomore year, I said, what happened? Where did Sean Behrens go? Because he put on muscle, 15 pounds of muscle. He was strong. He looked like a different person. I watched him play his sophomore season and now his junior season. He's gotten better as time goes on. Let me throw this out at you, Avalanche fans. You have Cale Makar, you have Devon Toews, and now you're going to get Sean Behrens very soon, if not immediately, certainly for next season. Are you pretty well set in your defensive core?
I mean, you know, the Avalanche are not that far from having won a Stanley Cup. It was 2 or 3 years ago, probably 2 years ago.
Two years ago, they won it the same year that Denver won number 9.
All right, well, here we go, right? You know, that team is built for the long term. This players like Behrens are certainly not going to hurt. And they're also kind of built contractually for the long term.
That they are. Good point, Paul.
Joe Very Sakic has done a really good job keeping that team as together as you can in the salary cap era.
Okay, we got to hear from more players before we go to break. So let's hear from Jared Wright, the guy that scored the goal. Mick tried to give it to McCade, but that's okay. Jared got it. I've told you a bazillion times about Jared Wright and his ability to score goals, the speed. I still call him the fastest. That's massive. I still call him the fastest player in college hockey. There you go. All right, so here we are, Jared Wright. Jared Wright, Paul, a man of few words, but of very profound words.
Well, listen, you know, again, you know, Wright, you know, was you know, came in as a freshman after they won number 9.
Paul, did you know that I call him Mr. Wright now? He's simply Mr. Wright.
I think it's time to go to a break before I throw my microphone through the wall.
Come on. Just tell us about Mr. Wright playing right here in his home state in front of his grandparents.
Stop. Oh, God. This is a really, really good player. You know, I'm sure the Kings are very happy that he won a national championship and, you know, bought into the defensive system to win this thing. I'm sure they're looking forward to him having another year of development under David Carl. And you know, before they bring him in, you know, got off a monster shot to score, almost made it 2-0. You know, he got robbed by Fowler on a breakaway midway through the second period. And, you know, just an unbelievable, you know, performance by the whole team. It's just, there's really no other way around it.
Paul, let me tell you about that line. Riga Lorenz, a sophomore, 6'3". Kieran Sebrian, 6'2", freshman. Jared Wright, 6'3", sophomore. I believe all three of them will be back with the Pioneers next year. Riga Lorenz belongs property of the Minnesota Wild.
Right.
Kieran Sebrian is a Denver, Colorado free agent from Denver.
Right.
And Jared Wright, Burnsville, Minnesota, and the LA Kings, as you mentioned. That's a pretty good. They had him listed as a third line. Coach Carr will tell you there are no lines.
Those lines.
We play them any way we want. But that's pretty solid when you look at that group. Not only size-wise, they're all around 200 pounds. They're all around 6'2", 6'3". And they have a desire to come right back here and win number 11. So that being said, how good a shape are the Denver Pioneers in, Nick?
Really, really good shape. You talk about size, and you talk about a third line. Riga Lorenz had a goal and assist tonight. Sebrian and Wright. How often do we talk, whether it's this level, the NHL, how important a role-playing bottom six is, right? And for these guys, you mentioned the size, but it's also they have the foot speed. That is a dangerous combination to have in your lineup. And they may not be the flashiest players. I know Lawrence is a second-round pick. Wright, I believe, is a sixth-round pick. But there's talent there, but more so they play the game the right way. And they play it at both ends of the ice. And if you can bring that whole line back, Scott, that is dangerous for the NCHC and the NCAA next year.
You know who else you're bringing back, Paul Hornstein? They're bringing back Matt Davis. He's only a junior. He's coming back again. Can he do anything more?
Yeah, he can win a second one. I mean, you know.
Good point.
You know, I mean, that's... And remember, this is a team that was a little worried about its goaltending midway through the year. They brought in one of their recruits early, Paxton Geisel, and he even got a start midway through the season when you know, there was some health issues in the net. So quite the year, quite the postseason, and you know, this is. Very, very dangerous Denver team. There were not a lot of seniors on this team. Will some of these guys leave? Yeah, Zeev Williams is going to be a top 10 pick. How many of those guys stay?
Going to depend. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the point is, I mean, we have seen it. Owen Power did return for a second year to go to Michigan. After he was number one pick. So it does happen. It'll be very interesting to see. You know, maybe the brothers decide to both stay and win another one. That would give Shy 3 and 4 years if they won.
Yeah, that might be a mark that won't be set by anybody else ever.
So,
before we go to the interview with... who do we have next? I've already lost track. With Massimo Rizzo.
That's our last one.
I want to say that there are two guys. Excuse me. There are two guys that are draft eligible on this lineup. Alex Weiermeyer and an LA product, and Kent Anderson, the defenseman from Calgary, are both draft eligible players for the Denver right. Pioneers. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes draft wise. But okay, let's hear from Massimo Rizzo, who came back from injury, and he'll tell you exactly what it means to be back on the ice after the injury.
Before, but you haven't been for a year, I bet, like this. No, I mean, there's nowhere to this team. You know, facing the top team in the country, but you know, we're the best team. Well, so we came in here for a bit. How do you feel now, not emotionally, but physically? Really good. Kept in my body. So, you know, you all have the adrenaline in the world, you feel unbelievable. The best thing you can do is watch your teammates keep things rolling until you can get back here. How did it feel to be on this ice tonight? Oh, yeah, it's way more less stressful playing than it is watching, but a lot of guys stepped up. Our team's unbelievable for the lineup, so I'm super proud of everybody. All right, that's it.
Again, apologize for the background noise, but we were in the middle of the fracas, in the middle of it. Hope you got to hear that, Paul. What did you think of Massimo Rizzo?
Well, listen, you know, this is what he fought through to get back from, right? When he was hurt.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we've heard it before. Guys get hurt, and you know, they don't know. You know, the first thing they want to do is get back. They want to get back. They're, you know, they hate not playing. And, you know, here's a guy that you know, wasn't sure really going into the NCAA tournament that he was going to be able to play. He didn't play in Springfield. And you know it was killing him to watch those games. So, you know, when he, you know, got to, you know, when they got to St. Paul and he was going to play, I mean, that was the advantage of having the 2 weeks.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.tv. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.tv.
From the St. Louis Sports Commission Studios, hosts 2025 NCAA Frozen Championships, this is College Hockey Coast to Coast. The St. Louis Sports Commission invites you to become part of the legacy of the heartland of hockey as they, the city of St. Louis, host the 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships. From the Stanley Cup to college champions to an exploding youth hockey community, St. Louis hockey has a long storied tradition. Find out how you can be a part of it by visiting us at www.stlsports.org. The St. Louis Sports Commission, making St. Louis a better place to live, visit, work, or play through sports.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Banks it towards the goalie. Score.
Before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
Oh my goodness gracious,
man. Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack is taking spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated the Spaghetti Shack has three locations at 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com. From the St. Louis Sports Commission studios, hosts of the 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships, this is College Hockey Coast to Coast.
Indeed it is, College Hockey Coast to Coast. Scott Strandy with you, alongside Nick Maxson, right here high above the Xcel Energy Center ice level. Paul Hornstein from the big, beautiful Palatial Estate and Caban Center on Long Island, New York, where everything is always rosy, gumdrops, all of the good things in life.
yeah.
And he can sigh pretty well, too, by the way. Nick has the all-tournament team and the MVP, so I'm going to let him give it to you.
All right.
So here we go. So at forward, Rieger Lawrence of Denver, Tristan Brose of Denver, Will Smith of Boston College, and then on defense, Sean Behrens, as well as Zeev Buyam. And then the goaltender, also most outstanding player, Paul, to nobody's surprise, it is Matt Davis of Denver.
Well, I mean, you know, that thing is always going to be dominated by the team that wins. I'm sure that, you know, first of all, the most outstanding player was obvious. I mean, that was a no-brainer. You know, we're gonna put. I don't know if you guys had a vote. I don't know how many people vote in that thing. You know,
we did not have a vote. We may have had a vote, but we escaped downstairs to be one of the first on the ice level. So,
well,
anyway, we knew who it was gonna be. They didn't need our vote.
Well, no, I mean, I'm sure you would have figured out, Scott. You know, you would have broke out your pom poms and made sure you got six or seven extra Denver guys in there. But
could,
you know,
I couldn't get one CC player on there, though.
You tried, I know. but, I mean, just...
How about those piles?
I mean, just, you know, I'm sitting there, and I know we're going to spend the next couple of days talking about it, but, I mean, that it was a clinic. Is what you got in these four postseason games by Denver. Just an absolute clinic. You know, shutting down two teams that were just so offensively gifted. You know, just you know, and the amount, I saw so many guys blocking shots. You know, and the thing about Denver is they have the depth to rotate their lines and not have to overplay some people, right? When you go up against a team like a BC or a BU in a tournament like this, you know, one of the reasons why you see them pull away in the third period of games is because the other team doesn't have the depth to rotate through. Like Denver does, and Denver did this year.
Paul, let me tell you one other thing that I don't know if it was visible to everybody else. I kept telling Nick that. He's probably ready to slap me about it, but I kept saying the Pioneers wore out Boston College. They started in the first period just making life miserable. Everywhere they went, there was somebody hanging on them. They were bumping. They were driving the pucks deep. They were making them play defense. And I said second period, the Denver elevation is starting to take toll. When you train and you play in that elevation, you have a different level of metabolism, of heart rate, all of that.
Call that endurance, Scott.
Endurance. Yeah, that's what they call it, endurance. You have a different level of endurance, and I think they showed it tonight, and I don't think BC just had enough. They tried in the third to mount a comeback, and I thought to myself, if they don't get a goal in the first 10 minutes, this might be over. And then I saw the Pioneers decide that they wanted to get Matt Davis a shutout, and they sold out. They sold out third period big time
to make sure that there was a nothing, as Paul Hornstein would say, on the board. Not a zero, nothing.
Well, and I don't think people will argue with this, although some might. But again, Boston College, too good a team where you weren't going to shut them down completely. They were going to make their push. Okay,
it was just a matter of
when it was going to happen. How would Denver respond? Would they make a mistake? Would they stay calm? And it's not like BC didn't have players that haven't been in the spotlight, right? As we know, over a half dozen of those BC players, you know, less than 6 months ago, won a World Junior Championship under David Carl.
Yep. And Paul and Scott, they did get a push. Ryan Leonard had their best chance about 8 minutes into that third period, and Matt Davis made the save of the tournament slash slave of the year. And we talked about it earlier, about Ryan Leonard looking to the skies. To me, you could see the body posture on BC change. I think if you're a player on the ice there, you can't buy a bounce. As Scott has mentioned, their forecheck and especially their breakout was really stymied. They did not have the freedom to move, to pass the puck as crisp and as cleanly as they wanted to. They couldn't stretch the ice. And to your point, Scott, you know, there's two ways to look at wearing them down. I think, yes, they were worn down physically, but I also think they were worn down mentally too, especially after that Matt Davis.
Very good point. Very good point.
And not just the Matt Davis save. A couple of minutes later, they hit a post.
Yep. Good point. So anyway, I think that combination, I will say when you look at this Boston College lineup, and I don't know if you're going to keep all three of these guys, but you got Gabe Perreault, Will Smith, and Ryan Leonard, all freshmen, all came in from the national team. Goodness gracious. I don't know what you do against that line. Will Smith, I thought, was well-deserved to be in the all-tournament team. He was all over the ice, having great opportunities in both games. You know, he's going to be an outstanding player, no doubt about it. San Jose first-round pick, Paul, Will Smith. Is San Jose just going to grab him and tie him up with a rope and drag him to San Jose right now?
Maybe. Maybe do they win the lottery? Does Utah win? I mean, does Chicago win the lottery? And I say "win" in quotation marks, by the way.
I know you do.
You know, I don't know how Nick feels, but you know,
I'm a Wild fan. I feel nothing.
Because most Wild fans that I speak to will tell me that they feel pain.
You know, Minnesota Wild fans and Toronto Maple Leafs fans have a lot in common. We really
no, don't say that. Well, maybe you should. I don't know.
The only thing that differentiates us is the Maple Leafs have actually won a cup, whereas we still haven't.
Yeah. Okay. They did in 1967. I was three, and it's
that
really
a long time ago.
And it's really makes me sad to know that streak continues. It's just breaks my heart that it, you know, still goes on.
Well, let me ask you this. What about Gabe Perreault then? He is I know your favorite team, the Rangers draft pick, number
Who?
23 overall. Yeah, you know. You know that team you cheer for when they go MSG, MSG.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Anyway, are they going to keep these freshmen? Are they going to be able to? Because Washington has Ryan Leonard, who is also a first-round pick. And we were talking about what's going to happen with the Macklin Celebrini. We're pretty certain he's gone. We're talking about guys that are first-round picks. And, you know, some say something like Ziv Buyum. If he's 10, does he hang around or does he, you know, I mean, what more does he have to prove except to repeat?
Well, that's it, right? I mean, again, I leave the Buyum brothers as a separate situation because they are brothers, and they might want to play that one last year together. You know, I don't know how long you know, if you were a first round pick. I guess it really would depend on the team, right? Like Smith is more likely to come out and get a lot of playing time right away, whereas the guy going to Manhattan might not. So why would you leave?
How about the guy that wears Boston College hockey uniform number 19, who was traded from one of your favorite teams, Philadelphia, to Anaheim? I think, and I was telling Nick this today, I said, I think he is ready to go to Anaheim, and I think he will be one of the best long-term NHL players because of his size, because of his mentality, because of his talent, and he fits in Anaheim. He's going to fit right in.
Well, again, right, there's a situation where if you're going to play, you're going to go. If you're not going to play, I don't know what the advantage would be to leave, because most of these guys that are picked that high have insurance. So, you know, the worrying about losing their paycheck, at least for a few years, is covered. You know, again, if, you know, Anaheim's going to make that decision, if he's going to play, he's going to be there. If they're not sure, he's going to stay. That's really the way that I assume most teams look at it.
Okay. We could talk about this, and we will talk about this continually, but other things happened today in the hockey world. It's not official, but it's pretty darn close to official that Lindenwood has a new coach.
Right.
Paul, you know something, done some research on that new coach. Fire away.
Well, former Islander Bill Muckholt, who was also
Oh, jeez. Okay, we're done. We're done.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Nick, what do you think about him?
Yeah. Asking the Midwest guy, the East Coast guy. Yeah, about that. you know, I think it's interesting, Scott, because there's two ways to look at this, right? I think there's still some question marks about the Zombo departure. Although I understand it, it is interesting for a team that just made the Division I jump just 2 years ago that a coach that led them through that transition only got 2 years. So what Bill Muckholt is inherently and, you know, taking over is a program that is in a goofy spot. With Lindenwood being in Missouri, recruiting, where does that stand with them? It's obvious maybe they thought that Zumbo wasn't getting them the right mix. Being an independent doesn't help them either. It's going to be a project. And I think he's got a lot of work ahead of him. So I'm not sure. I don't know much about Muckholt as the coach, but I do know the situation in Lindenwood is it's not an easy one.
Paul?
No, I would listen. We know it's not going to be easy. Okay, we know he's not. It's not going to be easy. But you know, Muckholt has coached at Michigan Tech. He's coached at Michigan. Won a USHL championship at Tri-City. All right, so he's got the experience. I would say this is a home run hire for the school. And I know we're going to get more into this as time goes on.
We're going to have the coach on, by the way. I think I can say that pretty clearly. We'll have the coach on in the next couple of weeks.
Well, let's hope so. I have a love-hate relationship with saying we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Because it's just, you know, in the world, we're all day to day. So, like I said, very interesting hire, very good hire. Like I said, a home run type. I'm sure that if we have him on, I'll get plenty of chances to ask him about his, you know, his season with the Islanders and how it was to play in Houston for a few weeks. He did play for the Wild too, by the way. Just he had a season with a couple of games with them too. Just to make you happy, Nick.
Not really.
Remember, he doesn't feel anything. Nope.
That's true. That's true.
The other thing that I think we have to touch on, I told you this last night, Paul. Arizona State's getting their building back.
Yeah.
The Coyotes, as sad as it is, I mean, I've bit my tongue. I've held things in for a long time. I've had a lot of inside access to what's happening with the Coyotes and how this was going to play out. And I feel bad for the quote-unquote diehard hockey fans in Arizona. But listen, you didn't come in like Vegas or Seattle where you had 10 to 15,000 season ticket holders ready to go. Knicks lived this with me as I was a North Star fan being here. Nobody thought that was going to happen. And when it did happen and when the Wild came back and were gifted another opportunity in a franchise, the people of Minnesota, say what you want, they bought in and they have bought in for a number of years. They built a beautiful building. This You're was first-class operation. Yeah, it was first-class all the way. They built a big enough press box to seat everybody. And all the things that you look at, the little things that maybe the general public doesn't see. But more importantly, they bought into the team. And they said, you know what, we're buying tickets, we're buying merchandise. And we didn't just do it for a year. We didn't just do it if they won. We did it for a decade plus. And that's what Arizona is going to have to do if they want this again. And maybe this is a wake-up call for all the fans that sat on their hands and said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to play or not, or if I'm going to go because I don't know how good the team's going to be, or I don't want to drive to Glendale, or whatever the excuse was. Vegas fans didn't say it. Wild fans didn't say it. Seattle fans aren't saying it. So, you know.
I can make a prediction, too, on that, too.
Go ahead.
Arizona's not getting a team back. And here's why I say that. They're doing this whole five-year window, and this is probably a what they call it, a hot take, as the kids say.
Yeah,
right?
Hot take.
But to me, this whole five-year window is BS. And I say BS for a couple of reasons. One, you're trying to make a deal with the same owner that, to the public sphere, says we're giving you a chance to get the team back. When in reality, why would the NHL, who's put their trust in this owner, has not delivered on what they wanted, has invested millions upon millions of dollars, have waited way too long to get things to happen where they finally are here to pull the plug. To me, this whole five-year window talk, Scott, is more of a public face to make this transition seem easier. But it's not going to be Mariuolo if it comes back.
No.
And well, that's exactly right. When they go back, and Gary Bettman has basically said they will go back.
Yeah, it's not going to be 5 years, Paul. It's not.
Well, it
be
might
five
not.
Years.
It might not be. But
can't be. There won't be a building in 5 years. Go ahead.
Well, it won't be. But one thing I can promise you, okay, is there'll be a different owner.
It has to be. And
well,
that land trust
deal,
it won't be there either.
Well, it'll happen. The guy's already there, but it'll happen.
I don't know. And I don't want to go too down the rabbit hole, Scott, but we were talking about this before the game tonight and my thoughts on the whole Mariuolo situation. And again, just like the NHL doesn't like to handcuff itself to a particular owner, especially when that particular owner has not done anything but put them into a sinkhole, right?
True.
And as I know they're enamored with the Arizona market, I know that strategically for the NHL, they need to be there. It's not a want, it's a need to be there, right?
Yep.
But at the end of the day, and I think I made this comment, the land trust deal to me is smoke and mirror, because if it really was a five-year window, that land trust date, which now has really gone to the back burner, there would still be conversation about that we need to win this. Because realistically, for a five-year window, you have to have shovels in the ground in the next 12 to 18 months to hit your five-year window, which will include having a building built, a practice arena, all the other different operations. It really, to me, that five-year quote-unquote window, your due date is June 27th.
Yeah, well, again, we're at the end of a show here. We have, and I welcome the opportunity to get in more detail than this and more in depth at some point. I'll even sneak on a Thursday show.
You will? You'll be ready to come on the Pro Hockey West Report?
I might. Okay. We'll see. Maybe after the AHL playoffs. I don't know. Whatever. But
let me walk away with this one for you then, Paul.
you went through things with the Islanders and ownership groups.
I did.
Is this similar at all or no?
It
you don't
got
to go into detail. Just give us that living through what you lived through. Is this similar?
In every way but one.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to enlighten us to that one or no?
Yeah, those of us here understand that Long Island is not Manhattan. Those people outside of here, in terms of perception, if all of a sudden your league has a team that leaves the New York area, the New York metropolitan area, your league and team values take a humongous hit. The Islanders were never leaving. They were going to find somebody eventually. Because if you think that Gary Bettman was going to have, by the way, he grew up on Long Island. He might have even been an Islander fan. Was going to let that team leave. They were going to figure it out at some way, somehow, some point. And it was just a matter of finding the right people. And they did in Scott Malkin and Ledecky, who honestly wanted to play some of the political games that others have not been willing to.
Okay, well, the Coyotes will be taking a trip for their players to look at the new facilities in Salt Lake City. They'll also be able to bring their families, I understand, and look at the where they might live. Should they choose to be there? Or I'm not even sure how this is all going to play out because I've heard so many different things. We'll get into that in another show.
Yep.
From here at the XL Energy Center, this is part of the thing I really, it's bittersweet, Nick. I'm looking down here as the logos are being taken off the boards and how the trapezoid is being put back in for the NHL. And I'm going like, you know, this means, Paul, that the NCAA hockey season is over until October. Yeah. It's sad. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we will be around, or fortunately, we will be around to talk about it for a long, long time. And we'll go through the summer. So congratulations again to the Denver Pioneers, their 10th national championship. I'm sure the party will go on. I'm already told that there is an announcement coming on Tuesday about a big game coming up for Denver. We're speculating on what it might be, but the SID, Ron Nabenbauer, told me to keep my eyes and ears posted. And if I could be in Denver on Tuesday morning, it might be worth my while. So anyway, take it away, my friend.
All right. Well, first of all, when you're the defending national champions, every game is a big game for the other team. That's one. Two, before I finish this, just rest in peace, Donzie Mullet. Thank you very much for everything you did to support ASU hockey, and you have touched more people than you'll ever know. From the St. Louis Sports Commission studios, hosts of the 2025 NCAA Frozen Four and ACHA National Championships, this has been College Hockey Coast to Coast, brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue, 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson, where our food can be summed up in one word: perfection. Liberty University, strengthen your faith and your game at the premier ACHA M1 program on the East Coast at liberty.edu. The Caesars Sportsbook app, proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly, with two locations in Tempe and one in Pine Top. Lunch, dinner, or your next catered event at thespaghettishack.com. Caesars Entertainment Resorts Casinos, where the action is from the Atlantic to the Pacific and around the world. And by FedEx, deliveries made easy no matter where you are, the official delivery company of Icetime Hockey West. College Hockey Coast to Coast and all of the Icetime Hockey West podcasts are live every week on the Podbean app or for download on your favorite podcast platform by searching and subscribing to ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. If you like what you hear, please tell a friend or leave a positive review. College Hockey Coast to Coast from the St. Louis Sports Commission Studios is a part of the IcetimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. I would say a big thank you to the NCAA, to all four schools, Boston College, Boston University, Michigan, and, of course, the Denver Pioneers for their hospitality, the XL Energy Center for everything they've done. to Nick Maxson for being yeoman here and doing some yeoman duty for us as we did, or will have done, 9 podcasts in 10 days, which is crazy, but that's what we do. And Paul, thanks for holding down everything at the command center. Your insight, as always, is unbelievable. We appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow night with College Hockey West Live. And we'll say goodnight with little Roger Klein, the Peacemakers. Hello, new day. Good night, everybody.
Good night.